The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is out now, and it's all about AI and creativity. I speak to Doug Eck, Senior Research Director at Google DeepMind.
Creativity is part and parcel of humanity.
YouTube creator Danny Vidari.
AI can give us humans new ideas.
And Neil Maiden, Professor of Digital Creativity at City University London.
AI creates a lot of opportunities. I think it's a great leveler.
Listen to the full episode of The Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Hello and welcome to the second of four installments of the FT Money Neptune Emerging Markets Roundtable Discussion. I'm Matthew Vincent from the Financial Times, and I'm delighted to be joined by three expert commentators to discuss emerging and developed markets from a private investor's point of view. We have Jim O'Neill, Chief Economist of Goldman Sachs.
Hello.
Joining us down the line, we have Tim Bond, Head of Global Asset Allocation Strategy at Barclays Capital.
Hello there.
And we have James Dowie, Chief Economist of Neptune.
Hi.
So let's pick up where we kind of left off in the first instalment, looking at whether growth, economic growth, can actually translate into equity returns for private investors. James, if I can come to you, first of all, there are some studies which suggest that there is no correlation between the two. What do you think about that?
Well, as an economist, I'd see this as a very sort of self-satisfied point of view from non-economists in the market. I mean, look, the point is that there isn't a correlation between growth and the market when you look in the data. It's because it's expectations of growth that matter. And that's really difficult to pick up in any systematic study. So my feeling is that these studies, you know, show that result because it's about expectations. Now, in the long run, economic growth, productivity raises profitability and raises wealth and savings in the household sector and leads to long-term market performance.
Jim, we've seen in recent times emerging markets suffer more than developed markets in downturns and bounce back much faster. There clearly is some link between global economic conditions and these markets. What do you think it is?
You know, it's both complicated but also in a couple of ways pretty straightforward, I think. Sustainable growth delivers better earnings, and that's what stock markets are all about. The reason why these studies don't show it in correlations is through cycles and through time, both for developed and particularly for developing countries, growth can be too strong at any moment and too weak. So that's the first point. And this year is a perfect example. Chinese growth, you know, is driving the world, but Chinese stock market's the weakest major market in the world, and it's because the Chinese are doing things to slow growth down, and people know that, and the markets are responding. And so if you did one of these nice little correlations now, that's what it would reveal. But if China does grow close to 10% the next decade, as you know, some people would suggest, I actually think it's probably more like 8%, it will probably be a very strong stock market over that decade.
Tim, if I could just bring you in on this one. I mean, you obviously look at growth rates, stock market returns when putting together various asset allocation models. Do you think this link between growth and markets is, you know, is being overplayed?
No, I mean, there is a link, and the studies that show that there's no correlation, there's sort of weak correlation when you look at the stock market returns and growth in coincident terms. But once you start to, you know, take account of the stock market's leading indicator quality, then the correlations, you know, do actually pick up. So just like the other two speakers, you know, it is about expectations and about how stock markets sort of lead, lead what's happening in the real economy. So, you know, if we can believe that China does have a decade ahead of it of sustained strong growth, I mean, given where equity market valuations are at the moment for China, then I think it's reasonable to suppose the stock market's going to track the economy. But if we wind the clock forward, you know, hypothetically a couple of years, And let's say, you know, there's been a sort of huge boom in Chinese equity prices. I mean, if you then take that as your starting point, you're probably going to find that the stock market lags growth. So the stock markets will, part of the re-rating that's occurring and likely to continue to occur for these emerging equity markets, I mean, that's about discounting the superior long-term growth up front. And once that process is done, and once, you know, these markets are trading at fairly significantly higher PEs than you'd find, say, in Europe, then it would be unreasonable to expect that the stock markets will carry on keeping up with the economy, because they'd have actually, you know, they've actually preempted it. The sort of the quite blunt idea that there isn't any correlation between an economy's growth rate and its stock market returns, I mean, that's not true at all.
And James, I think you were talking earlier about it's more to do with expectation of growth rather than anything else. What sort of measures can a private investor look at, do you think?
They can look at consensus expectations. You can also get a feel for an economy of what a reasonable expectation would be by looking at population growth and by looking at actually what it's done in the past. You'd form your base case on that, and if things were looking better than that, well, then the market's probably going to react positively.
And just finally, Jim, any other indicators you think that can...
We have a whole battery of them for this very purpose that we're talking about. Markets are smarter than the people that are in them, so you've got to follow very useful leading indicators. We have our own proprietary global leading indicator that we've had for the past decade, and it's a pretty good lead indicator of growth, and it correlates very closely with the bond-to-equity relationship. We have them specifically for many countries, including, particularly importantly, for China, which is key to so many markets in the past and will be in the future. And you have to look at things that have some reliability of where growth will turn out to be. If you wait for the evidence of growth, as Tim mentioned earlier, it's almost definitely going to be in the price by the time you get there.
So it's all about timing and getting in early, gentlemen. Yeah. Thank you all very much. And you'll be able to find the third instalment of this roundtable debate, together with transcripts of all our discussions and additional analysis of emerging markets from Neptune, on our website at ft.com/money. And you can find details of how you can take part in our special FT Money Neptune Emerging Markets competition for the chance to win £5,000 in FT Money with the Weekend FT, and on the website I've just mentioned, ft.com/money. But until the next time, it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from Jim, Tim, and James.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
Cheers.
The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is out now, and it's all about AI and creativity. I speak to Doug Eck, Senior Research Director at Google DeepMind.
Creativity is part and parcel of humanity.
YouTube creator Danny Vidari.
AI can give us humans new ideas.
And Neil Maiden, Professor of Digital Creativity at City University London.
AI creates a lot of opportunities. I think it's a great leveler.
Listen to the full episode of The Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.